Blog Talk Radio.
Yo. Your favorite tag team is back tonight. You know, we took a couple weeks off, you know, summertime, you know, end of summer. So, you know, we back. Got a lot to talk about tonight. But like always, I got to introduce my man up there, Mass. What's up, Keys? How goes it, bro?
It goes great, bro. It goes wonderful. Let's get this, man. A couple weeks was needed. It's okay. You know what I mean? We were getting to it. I was in New York this past week. I was out in New York visiting some family there. And, yeah, it's been you know, a needed couple of weeks. But, hey, we're back to hit the ground running. Let's get it, bro.
Yo, man, you got something you want to talk about, so go ahead and kick it off.
Yeah, so my thing is this. I just got to say that, first of all, I'll preface it like this. So I used to love wrestling, and we never really talked. I mean, we did a little bit, but I never really did that much on this show talk about wrestling. But, see, to preface it, I'll say, when I was watching wrestling was during the era where John Cena was on the come up. You had Kurt Angle, Booker T, The Big Show, Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Kane. You had, like, all those guys. Like, I know you have, like, some of those guys now, but, like, you had them all at the same time, all in their respective prime, you know, if we're being fair. I mean, they were pretty much all at the top of their game during this era that I'm talking about, you know, like, early 2000s. You know, 2001, they're probably, like, 2008 or something like that. Like, that era, maybe even 09. It was probably, like, 2001 to, like, 2010, realistically. And that era of WWE was so good that was, like, my favorite thing. Like, I wasn't even – that was before I even knew what the UFC was. I loved wrestling. And when I heard that – and I'll say, I was actually there. I was thinking about this when I was just in the shower just now. And I was like, yo, I'm pretty sure I was there when I was at the – I think it was Monday Night Raw when – Kurt Angle, this is way back. This is probably like 2001, you know, maybe 2002. I was at the TD Garden, and Kurt Angle issued an open challenge. He said to anybody in the locker room, he said, I'll wrestle with anybody now. Anybody in the locker room can enter this match. You know, it's an open challenge. Nobody responded. And after a little bit, John Cena comes out, and he was a brand new name at that time. I want to say that was his first match in the company, and I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't even know who he was. I was just at Monday Night Raw, and that's how it was. So either way, Edge, how could I forget Edge in his respective prime during that era as well. Edge was such a good heel that I hated him, you know. That's how good he was. And I didn't realize that as a kid, though. You know, like, I really didn't understand a lot of these things. Like, you know, you have, like, you know, the bad guy in movies. Like, you know, I didn't really understand, like, how good, you know, I never knew how good, like, Heath Ledger was. You know what I mean? Like, at that time, I knew, like, that was, like, 2010, and I understood a bit more by the time, like, the Dark Knight came. But, like, it just, when you're younger, you don't perceive it the same way. And I didn't understand about heels. You know, I hated Kurt Angle at one time. I remember, and that's how good he was. You know, that's how legendary he is, and how legendary Edge is. That he made me hate him. But he was so fun to watch. You know, his character and his matches. You know, everything he did was great to watch. You know, it wasn't like I wasn't watching him. It was like I watched him, but you just hated him. You loved to hate him, and. So my thing was, AEW, you know, probably a month or two ago, had announced that, you know, Edge had was dealing with injuries for a long time, you know, the past couple of years, at least. I want to say, like, the past 9-10 years, I want to say, he hasn't wrestled much. I think he's had a lot of injuries. I want to say he has a bad neck injury that he was dealing with, and I'm pretty sure they told him that he would never be able to wrestle ever again. I'm pretty sure that's what he was told. And so, you know, you would think he was done. And then it comes out that, you know, he had been back in WWE. And at the time that I'm picking it up, at the time that we're getting to right here, is when I heard that Edge was no longer with WWE and he was signed to AEW under Adam Copeland. So he's Adam Copeland, and I imagine that's his real name, or I don't know if that's a name, if it's not,
that's his real name.
Yeah, so that's his name. So he's Adam Copeland in AEW. And when I saw that they signed him, I was like, you know what, man? Like, one night I was sitting there, probably like 2 months ago, and I was like, let me look up this AEW, bro. I'm like, Edge is over there. Let me see this. Like, I kind of want to see Edge. You know, I hadn't watched an Edge match in probably a decade. You know what I mean? I've been tapped out with wrestling for a long time. So I had no clue. I didn't even know he was, you know, having injuries. I was out of the loop, you know? And so I said, let me look up this AEW. You know, Edge is over there. Let me see this. So I watched his video when he debuted. I want to say it was at the very end of a pay-per-view. And this is the type of stuff that makes wrestling so good. When I saw the way they did this, this was the coolest thing. This was so cool the way they did this. You know, it's like, oh yeah, Christian. Christian was also in this era of WWE that I was watching. Christian was another character that he wasn't a guy that I hated, but I just wasn't really that much of a fan. But it was really the way he was kind of utilized, you know, the way he was used in WWE. They kind of didn't really prop him up that much. You know, I feel like he didn't really get, you know, the platform that he should have gotten. And so when I watched this, you know, Christian Cage versus Sting. Sting is another guy that I feel like I grew up watching. He was a guy in TNA that I used to watch TNA a lot too. And that's where I know, you know, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe from, and those guys are really fun to watch. But that was way back. So Christian Cage versus Sting goes down like 2 months ago. I want to say that was the main event of a pay-per-view for AEW. And after the match, you know, Christian Cage wins the match. He's the world champion. And Edge returns after the match. He's right there at the end of the match. You hear his intro music. How crazy is it? You're at the event. Like, bro, if I was at the event and I'm watching Christian Cage wrestle Sting for the world title, and then that match is a crazy match, which I know it was a crazy match, and then that match ends. That's like the intensity of a main event, like a good main event. And some of these wrestling matches are amazing matches. Imagine I'm at the event, and that goes down, and it's a crazy fight, it's a crazy match. And then you hear Edge's intro music hit. Bro, I would have collapsed. I would have collapsed. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be able to take it. I wouldn't be able to take it. That was so, must have been so crazy for that live crowd. I cannot imagine the pop that was in that room when that intro music hit. Everybody knows that intro music. If you've watched wrestling and you watched Edge perform, you know his intro music. Everyone knows that, you know. And if you don't know it, I don't know what you're doing if you don't know that intro music. But, I mean, mostly everyone knows that shit. And if I heard that, that would have been one of the craziest moments 27-year life thus far. And when I saw it, you know, they cut that whole back and forth at the end of it. It was so crazy. Edge wants to tag team with Christian, and Christian's like, you know, he's like, go fuck yourself. That's like a big you know, turn of events for people, because no one expects. I didn't expect that. I was like, okay, they're about to do a tag team run. This is sick. I feel like I'm, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm 10 years old again. Let's get this, you know? And then it doesn't go that way, you know? But then you have introducing all these other names over there that I start to like. Luchasaurus, I think, is a really interesting character.
Yeah.
Nick Wayne, yep. Very interesting character. I really like both of those guys, and I like that group that they have. Christian Cage, and he's great on the mic, too. And you know what's crazy is the way he presents himself. I couldn't have told you that Christian Cage was like, I want to say he's like late 40s, early 50s or something.
Yep.
I wouldn't have been able to tell you that because
he looks young.
I just wouldn't have known. It's just he presents himself in such a way that you just wouldn't think that. He's a very, you know, witty guy, you know, and the way he is still able to speak on the mic, you would think this was like a brand new Christian. Like, that's the way it's hitting me. I'm feeling like, yo, this is a different guy. Because this just doesn't feel like the same guy that I used to watch, you know, that I wasn't really that interested in. And so, you know, I stopped to like all these characters. And I stopped to see, you know, Sting is there. They got, well, I'm trying to think, what, Sting's boy, that.
Darby Allin.
Darby Allin. Okay, here we go. So, So Darby Allin, I really like that. I really like him too. And the thing that's so interesting to me about him is that I noticed he has half his face painted, and it's you know, it's kind of a similar thing to the way Sting has his face painted. And you know, I get the sense that Sting just recently announced that he'll be retiring. I think it's, you know, Q1
March.
Or Q2 next year, I think, is when that pay-per-view is. And if you ask me, I feel like, you know, you can see it. You know, if you watch wrestling, you can see what's going on there. You know what I mean? To me, I feel like Darby Allin, you're pretty much setting up. He's like the successor to Sting. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's going to be, like, the next thing. I'm not saying that really, but he's going to be his own character, but he's like, he's basically carried the torch for Sting is what I'm trying to say. You know, I feel like that's what they're positioning him to be. And with half his face painted, when I looked at it, I'm like, yo, this is epic, bro. I'm like, this is amazing. I'm like, these dudes are cooking in AEW. What is going on? and then I'm watching, you know, so all this is happening, and the Edge and Christian storyline has got me blown away. So I've been watching clips on YouTube because I don't have whatever it is that you need to stream it. So I'm just, like, watching the playbacks. Like, a lot of these matches, like, some of them, they're in the entire match you can get on YouTube, and I watch a lot of the playbacks after they go live each week. You know, I was just watching the WWE match, the Seth Rollins and Sami Zayn main event. Yeah, right after the show went off last night, I was watching. I watched that whole match on YouTube, and you saw the fight that broke out after it. And I just think it's so crazy that AEW, there's so many moments like that where you see guys storm in the ring. You never really have like a predictable back and forth where you're like, oh, these two guys are just talking. It's never like that. You always have other variables that are entering into it. There's never just one guy's getting, you know, jumped by these two guys, three guys, and you don't hear any intro music, and no one's coming out. There's always someone coming out over there in AEW. That thing is crazy. They are cooking in AEW, bro. They are absolutely cooking. I am so intrigued, and I've been watching every time I search for it. You know, I've been watching it usually at the end of the night. You know, when I'm winding down. At end of the night, I usually will queue up YouTube, and I'll just go back and find all the newest clips, and I'll just watch everything. And I'm like, yo, these dudes, like, so I just got to say, AEW, wow. I'm definitely a fan. I'm watching that shit. And in the WWE, I've been seeing some good stuff, and I'm starting to like some of the new guys they got there. See, I know Sami Zayn. I know Seth Rollins. I'm aware of those guys. Like, I wasn't really tuned in as much since they've been around, but I've seen some of their matches, and, like, I'm aware of those guys. That's not, like, totally taboo to me. Like, I know those guys. I know a bunch of those guys, like Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan, I remember when he was Bryan Danielson
AEW
in the WWE.
Now.
Yeah, and that's another thing. And he's another guy that I like watching him, and he's been good to see there. And I remember when he was Bryan Danielson in the WWE, then he went and he changed his name to Daniel Bryan. I forget what his name is now.
That Bryan Danielson.
He's over there. Is it Bryan? So, exactly. So he's, he was Bryan Danielson
back.
Like way back.
Yeah, he Bryan Danielson again. But,
okay,
but
so he's
man.
Bryan Danielson again.
But the thing is, bro, I've been watching, I watch wrestling. That's one of the things me and my son and my grandson, we kind of like, that's our little thing. So, but you know, that thing when Edge, I was watching the event that Edge premiered in, that he showed up in. It was word out that he was going to be, that he had left WWE. And I didn't mind him leaving WWE, man. He had did everything he possibly could do. And WWE, he been a champion, tag team champion. He did everything. So them letting him go was probably the best thing for him. Plus, he had missed 9 years of his career with that neck injury, like you said. So we was watching that event, and there was no leaks or nothing saying he was going to be there. And then, boom, his music hit. And all I heard was my grandson in the background saying, "Is that Edge? Is that Edge?" He was he was going crazy, man. But wrestling has definitely picked up. I want to say in probably the last year, year and a half, maybe 2 years, because a lot of the old stuff is old stuff. And if you look at it, you got a bunch of young people. I ain't going to say young people, but you got better thinkers that's running wrestling now. Like, if you look at WWE, WWE Creative is ran by Triple H now. Not Vince McMahon, thank God. And then AEW, most of their stuff is like Tony Khan is the owner, but he has people like Chris Jericho, Arn Anderson. You know, he got people like that helping him put the matches together and stuff like that. But, yeah, man, wrestling has definitely been on fire, bro. I'm so happy for it. I've been watching wrestling, man, since the old days, NWA, when it used to come on TBS at 6:05 on Saturdays, on the TBS, on the Superstation. So, but I'm glad to see it back. WrestleMania is, I want to say it's in Philly this year. I want to say it's in Philly. So it's a two-day event now. AEW just sold out Wembley Stadium with 81,000 people. So, bro, wrestling has definitely picked up. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say the females are going at it too now in wrestling. Back in the day when the ladies, it was like bikini matches, bra and panty matches and all that. Nah, not no more, man. These girls go at it now, man. They can hang with some of the guys. So, but it's good to see my man Keys, man, in the wrestling, man. We might have to start having a wrestling segment on our show now.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm gonna be watching this shit. Like Edge, and it's the thing that's so crazy is. And by the way, as far as the women, I'm hip to that. I'm definitely hip to that because I was watching
Valerie Larrida.
I watched Valerie. No, I haven't watched one of her. Well, yeah, I'm hip. Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Yo, real talk though, Valerie Larrida might be like, I'm not even gonna front to y'all. Like to me, she might be like the hottest woman alive. Like it is so crazy. She is like, and it's like she knows that, and I love that she knows that. To be honest, I'm not like gonna say, like, oh, you see people like attacking her and saying like, oh, like da da, and it's like, nah, bro, I don't give a damn. I love it. I love that she knows that. I love that, you know, she's taking all her pitches and she's like, no, I'm the shit. Good. I love it because, and here's a girl that she's absolutely gorgeous. She kicked a lot of ass in MMA. She knocked out a lot of girls. She didn't have that many fights, but she definitely put in work in MMA, and now she's putting in work in wrestling. And you love to see it. You love to see it. I haven't seen her matches yet, but I know she's over there, and I'm sure, you know, she's an athlete. You know, she's a Taekwondo master. You know, I did a whole lot of research on her when I was writing for the scrap, and I did a profile on her, and I researched her quite a bit. And you know, she comes from a family of Taekwondo masters. You know, her father was, her mother was. She's a Taekwondo master now, and that's just what it is. They're a fighting family. They're a really, really talented family that, you know, that can beat all of us up. So, you know, it is what let you know. I'm glad she's shining. I love to see it. And yeah, I'll be tuning in there. But the one that I watched was not her match. I watched because one that I like is Becky Lynch. I always like to see Becky Lynch. That's another girl that I'm kind of not in the know about her. I've watched some of her matches, but she's still one that when I was tuned out of wrestling was when she came up. But I definitely know she's talented, and I love her on the mic. I think she kills it. I love her character, and she's the type of girl that puts women's wrestling on a different level because you have a superstar, you know, she's like everything. She does everything. You know, it's like she puts on great matches and she's great on the mic, and you could tell she's confident. You know, it's like A lot of the women over the years, like, yeah, they're confident, but, you know, not for the same reasons. Like, Becky Lynch is, I think Becky Lynch is gorgeous, but she also is so talented, and she's confident in herself, and she's achieved so much. You know, I'm aware that there was a time where Becky Lynch held both the belts. You know, we see Roman Reigns with both the belts today. You know, I don't particularly care about Roman Reigns, to be honest with you. That's not really a guy that I'm checking for, but I definitely think it was dope that they put that Becky Lynch held both the belts. You know, because that just shows that, okay, you know, for all the women, it's like, yo, we can do this. You can be the one that holds both the belts. How big of a moment is that? You know what I mean? Like, that's really a sight to see. You know what I'm saying? Because I could have never pictured that way back in the day. Like, they only had the women's champion. There was only, like, one belt. I think it was just the women's champ. It was the women's title or something. That was the only belt. And I don't even think you had, like, women's – maybe they had a women's tag team belt, but I don't even think they had a women's tag team belt. I think it was just one title. And you could never imagine, you know, Becky Lynch. I know she was, like, the face of WWE at one point. You know, when she was at the top, and she just was the NXT champion. I'm aware of that, because what I'm getting to is I watched her match with, I can't remember the young lady's name that I watched her perform against, but it was a relatively newer name in WWE, and it was on, it was, I think it was either Raw or SmackDown that they had the NXT title match, and it was Becky Lynch versus that girl. And that girl was, they put on a good match. I can't remember her name off the top, but it was like one of the, it was probably in the past week or two that I watched it. And
yeah, Lara Valkyrie. Lara Valkyrie. There's a backstory between her and Becky. Becky used to train her when she was an amateur, because they were both over in UK or Ireland or somewhere like that. And they were both coming through the ranks at the same time. But, you know, Becky ended up getting her break. And then when she got her break, Lara Valkyrie, she ended up getting her break. And Becky kept mentoring her and, you know, stuff like that. So it was a good story they did with them, man. But, hey, man, we got about 35 minutes, bro. We got a lot to talk about, man.
Yeah, so we switch over because, bro, you can see I'm excited about wrestling. I ended up burning the whole show on it.
But what we're going to do, we're going to start having a segment every time we do a show. We're going to have a segment talking about wrestling. I'll probably let you do AEW, and I'll probably do WWE, and we'll probably just do 2 minutes, just cover it up real quick. And, you know, we'll move on. Depending on what's going on. If there ain't nothing going on in UFC, we'll just do a wrestling show. But we're going to talk about Fury and Gano, but remember, like, 3 weeks ago. We might come back to that.
Let me just get one thing. I just want to give my take is not even 1 minute. I just want to say, in my opinion, Tyson Fury, you got dominated so bad in that fight. I barely have you winning a round. I can't even pick out a clear round that you won. Now, people can disagree, but that's okay. We all have our opinions. But I will say that there are many pro boxers who agree with me, who had you losing the fight. A lot of guys that, a lot of people I know, you know, that's their favorite boxers, are saying that he lost the fight. So that's what I'm saying. I 0-0 MMA guy came in and basically dominated you in that fight, and you're the one that walked out with a black eye, and he walked out unscathed. So who really won the fight? And that's all I'm going to say for that.
And I'll just think about real quick. I think Ngannou definitely had a great showing. My only complaint was I don't think he threw enough. He wasn't active enough to me. He didn't let his hands go enough to me. He was always waiting to counter. And I think in a fight like that, when you got the knockdown, be more aggressive. Come out more aggressive. You know, don't live on the 10-8 round. Come out and let your hands go. I had the fight basically scored as a draw at worst, but I didn't think Fury should have won. If anything, it could have been a draw or Ngannou should have won. But Ngannou did make – he looked very good in there. And I'm going to throw this question out, and then we'll move on. I don't want to see Francis Ngannou in MMA no more, man. I think boxing should be his thing, bro. And boxing should be his thing until he shows us that, you know, maybe the Fury fight was a fluke, or maybe Fury didn't take him seriously, or maybe, you know, he was up for that fight. But I think he should really put his time and money into boxing, because he did have a good showing in there. And I just don't think MMA, just move on, bro. You don't have nothing else to prove in MMA, man. Go ahead and get in that boxing circle, man, and make that big money. And I think if he put his mind to it, I say within a year, maybe 2 years, he'd probably be fighting for the belt.
Yeah, I would like to see him box too. There's actually rumors that he's in talks to box again in December. People are saying against Joseph Parker. There's a couple names out there that they're talking about. I think Ngannou will beat a lot of guys. I mean, I really didn't think that he was I didn't view there was no point during the fight where I was like, I wish Ngannou was throwing his hands more. I thought that, you know, him staying a little bit reserved like that and picking his shot is what won him the fight. And I think he landed all the biggest shots of the fight. And, you know, you watch it and you could see that, you know. It's like, not to mention, he had the only knockdown of the fight. So, yeah, the PFL thing is a joke. There's nobody big enough to have him fight. So I think either I'd want to see Ngannou keep boxing or go over and fight John Jones, go over and fight, you know, Tom Aspinall or one of these big heavyweight fights that could be made. If it's not that, I don't know what I would really even want to
see.
Yeah,
but he under contract with PFL, so he can't just jump back to the UFC unless he has a clause in his contract that allows him to leave PFL to go fight in the UFC, but I don't see PFL letting him go, and he hasn't even fought a fight for them. So, yeah, man, just concentrate on boxing. And Mike Tyson, if you're going to train him, train him. That means being in his corner during the fight. I think Mike Tyson could have helped him so much better if he would have been in his corner during that fight, man. So, but look, man, speaking of boxing, Jake Paul is fighting some dude named August, who's 10-1 in boxing. I guess somebody, I think you put it out, I think you may have tweeted it. Now, somebody may have put it out. I saw it on our Twitter timeline that August normally fights at 176, so now he's moving up to 200 to fight Jake Paul. What's your thoughts on this?
The Jake Paul fight versus August.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked into the guy. You know that now. You know, I'm pretty much I'm researching all this shit. It's like all these fights. You know, I'm deep diving into pretty much all the UFC fights, and you know, I did a little bit of digging on his opponent, and I think this is you know, he's fighting a guy that's 10-1. I give him props. You know, a lot of these boxers, you know, they have completely fluffed records. You know, Khabib, completely fluffed record. Obviously, he's not a boxer, but you know what I'm saying is that there's a lot of fluffed records, a lot of padded records out there that are filled with guys that have negative, you know, they got more wins than losses than most of these dudes. And so do I think Jake Paul was very strategic with this opponent, and do I think it's a cherry-picked opponent, 100%? Do I think he wins the fight, 1,000%? Do I think it's going to be an early KO that you know makes Jake Paul's stock explode? 100%. And will I bet Jake Paul? 100%. And you know this guy is a guy that he's fighting is a 176er. You know that's what I found about him. He fights 176, and Jake Paul is fighting around 200 pounds. I want to say I'm pretty sure he fights exactly at 200 pounds. And or it's either 200 or 210 he fights at. And yeah, so he's gonna have a huge size advantage, a lot of power over this guy, and this is a layup, basically. But as far as the record, the guy does have knockouts. The guy is on, I think, a 4 or 5 fight win streak, 10-1. And that's better than a lot of these guys can say about their records. You go look at these guys that you know, some of your favorite boxers today, and this is why I don't rock with boxing, is that these dudes, they don't be fighting real guys. They just fight, you know, tomato cans, you know, for the first 38 fights, and then, you know, you see that they're 38-0, and you're like, wow, he's really good. He's 38-0. And then when you break down who he fought, he doesn't have one guy in his record that you even have heard of. And you go to those guys' records, and they all have, you know, 4-20, 1-75. You got just terrible guys that they're feeding for these guys to just fluff their records. And then, you know, you get them down the line in their career, and it's 25-0 versus 24-0. And the two of them combined have only fought maybe 4 guys that are actually tough, you know. So, yeah. But, you know, is it a cherry pick? Yes, I think it is. But is it smart? Yes, I think it is. And I think he wins the fight. And yeah, the guy that, you know, he's fighting has been KO'd before. And the guy that KO'd him, it has a record of 7-16 in boxing. And this is what I'm trying to say, is that this is what boxing does, is they only just feed tomato cans to all these fighters. All the records are fluff. You've never heard of any of the guys they fight, because it's just a big business of just building up names. That's what boxing does. And that's why, you know, to me, boxing will never be better than UFC. They'll never be more legit than the UFC ever, because that's what they do. They don't make real fights. The best don't fight the best. They're only just starting to fight the best. The only reason that boxing is having a bigger year than the UFC is because they're unloading all the fights that the fans have been telling them to make for the past 5 to 10 years. For the past 5 to 10 years, they're unloading all those fights in 1 year. That's the only reason they're having a bigger year. You know what I'm saying? So watch next year, where you're probably not going to see that happening, and boxing is going to be barely relevant again. You know, Canelo goes back to fighting no-name guys, you know, to add more wins to his record like he does. You know, all these dudes are just going to duck each other. You're not going to see the best fight the best. And then they're just going to go back to what they do. And then what they do is do nothing. So, yeah, it is what it is.
I'm mad about Jake Paul fighting this guy, because at least it is a boxer. I get it, because boxing is known for when up-and-coming guys are coming up. Normally they are given, you know, fights to get their feet wet, to test their skills, see where they at. So I'm not mad about this. I'm just glad that he's fighting a quote-unquote boxer. Everybody can say what they want about Tommy Fury, dog, but Tommy Fury showed you in that KSI fight that, man, he at worst should be a YouTube boxer. Nah, it is what it is. Me, you know, I just wish it was another sport that they could do this shit in, you know, this celebrity fighting stuff, because it's just, I just love boxing so much, man, and to me, I just don't like this celebrity boxing thing. But it's the best way. It's the only combat sport, really, that these guys can really get into, because MMA has too many rules, too many ways to hurt somebody. You can even kill somebody in the octagon. So I get it with the boxing. Hey, I'm glad he's fighting a boxer. I'm glad he didn't, you know, they didn't make the KSI fight, because that guy's trash. So, hey, hats off to Jake Paul. Hats off to Logan Paul, who's now the WWE U.S. United States champion, although he won the belt in a shady way. But, hey, he's the U.S. champion over in WWE, so it is what it is. Hey, real quick, Keys, I'm going to ask you about the three fights that came out last weekend. Give me your early thoughts. Strickland Duplessis.
I think that's a cool fight. You know, I'll be looking forward to it. I think Strickland is probably better than we thought he was, but I don't think he's better than Duplessis, and I do think Duplessis is going to be the champion. He's going to beat him. Duplessis is going to have the size. He's going to have – you know what it is? It's not going to say he's the size. Probably the size, but not the size. It's going to be – he's going to have a big power advantage. He's going to be stronger. I mean, that's one thing that I have noticed with Duplessis. And here's a guy in Keys. Here's a guy in Keys that has doubted Duplessis every single fight he's had in the UFC. You know what I mean? I thought he looked like trash in the first fight I saw him. I thought his striking looked terrible. I said he leaves his chin wide open. He throws long punches when he leaves his chin exposed. I was saying he's going to get cracked against, you know, a high-level striker. And, I mean, yeah, he proved me wrong over and over. He definitely proved the world wrong against Robert Whittaker. I actually made money on that win, so that appreciate that, Duplessis. Robert Whittaker is going to be back, bro. He's going to be killing it, and I can't wait to see his next fight. But Duplessis, I think he's going to be stronger. I think he's going to mix in the grappling. I think he's going to mix in the clinch. He's going to mix in the striking. And he has great ground and pound. He's strong. He's stronger than these guys, and that's what I've noticed in his fights. But he does gas out. He does gas out, and I think the cardio is going to be a big factor in this fight. You know, his coach said that, you know, he had some kind of surgery on his nose, which was making his cardio worse before. And then we've seen that. I don't know if he had that after the Whittaker fight or it was before it, but it was recently that he just got the surgery on his nose, and they were saying that was affecting, obviously it affected breathing. If your cardio is not going to be as good. But, you know, I do think cardio, Strickland can go five. We know he can go five, and that's going to be the thing. Is Strickland going to be able to do the same thing he did to Adesanya? No, he's not, because this is a totally different fight. And Adesanya, you know, was just basically letting Strickland, you know, walk him down. And that's not going to happen with Duplessis. You know what I mean? This guy is very explosive. He's going to fight to win. He's going to fight to finish you. And I think we're going to see him overpower Strickland in there. I think Strickland's going to be surprised by what happens in there. You know what I'm saying? And I hope he doesn't overlook the fight, you know, because if he overlooks the fight, you know, he's going to get smashed bad is what's going to happen. So, you know, I look forward to betting on Duplessis, man.
Oh, man. Strickland definitely not going to be able to fight the same fight. I think Duplessis is going to make him fight more in this fight. I do worry about Duplessis' cardio, and this is going to be a five-round fight. But can Strickland lead the dance? We know that Izzy is a counterpuncher. Izzy doesn't like to be the one to go. He likes to counteract what you do. And the one round Izzy did lead the dance, he won that round. I want to say that was round two. He came out, led the dance, and dominated Strickland in round two. So, I like this fight. I want to say Strickland gets it done, but I don't know yet. All right, moving on to Volkanovski versus Topuria. Keys, I really think this is going to be Volkanovski's toughest fight in this division. Topuria is solid. He's solid on his feet. He's solid on the ground. Now, we all know Volkanovski is a beast. Volkanovski, hey, outside of getting knocked out by Islam on, 10 days notice, you know, basically he's dominated everybody he's fought, except I want to say the second fight against Max Holloway. I don't think he dominated Holloway in the second fight. This is the fight that I think if Volkanovski wins, he might move up to 155 because there's nothing else for him to prove down at 145. But
wait,
if Topuria I think he moves up, man. I think if he beats Topuria, he has nothing else to prove at 145. Who else down there for him to beat? Hasn't he beat everybody in the top 10?
Yeah, for sure. Volkanovski's beating everybody, man. And I think if you beat Topuria, I mean, if say he loses to Topuria, which I'm predicting him to win, but let's say he loses, I do think it's a dangerous fight. Topuria is definitely very good, and he's good on the ground and he's good on the feet. So it's not like a guy that if you just take him down, it's over. Like, but at the same time. Let's say, Volkanovski beats Topuria. Yeah, you got to move up to 155, bro. It's like, what are we doing here? It's like, you've beaten everybody. There's no point to keep this going.
Yeah.
What do you want to wait on? You know what I mean? There's nothing to wait on. So, yeah, I think, you go up. If he wins, you go up. Volk probably won't want to do that because he said he wants to fight 145 and 155, but I don't know. I mean, what do you want to do? Because Max Holloway is going to beat everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He's going to keep beating everybody there. So if you stay there and you beat Topuria, expect
to fight Max Holloway again.
Yeah, expect to fight Max Holloway shortly after that. You know, maybe even your next fight, because Max Holloway is going to win his next fight. And then you're kind of forced to do it. So, yeah, I mean, Figueiredo and Moreno also needed to be split up, because they would probably end up fighting again. Figueiredo is, I'm pretty sure he's going to be fighting Rob Font. He moved up to 135, and I'm glad that happened. However they made that happen, I'm glad they did, because now you can have Moreno fighting that down and then have, Fig Newton fighting at 135. So separate those two guys because they're clearly the two best guys, and we can't just watch the same fights over and over and over again.
Over and over and over, yep. All right, then lastly, Sean O'Malley, trying to get that loss back. He's taking on Chito Vera. Keith, I think this is the most interesting out of these three fights. Only reason I say that it's interesting, more interesting, is because it's a revenge fight for the champion. Normally, you get a revenge fight for the challenger. Normally, the challenger trying to get the L back. This fight is tough for me, Keys. What's your thoughts on it? What's your early thoughts on it?
I watched their face-off that they did. I'm pretty sure it was last night or whenever. I watched the face-off. I'll say this. I think Chito, first of all, you were gifted this title fight. You don't even deserve this title fight, so I just want to put that out there right now. I'm not really a Chito fan, to be honest. I used to be, but then once he started talking like an asshole, I kind of got sick of him. The way that Dominic Cruz pretty much dominated him for pretty much their entire fight until Chito lands a big shot or a kick or whatever he landed. Big shot in the fourth round, where to that point he had gotten dominated for every single round, and he was losing that round four as well, and then has the audacity to say after the fight that Dominic Cruz has a bad style for this current generation, and his style is not good enough, and it's like, bro, your style is nothing. You have no style. You have nothing. You have one big shot that you hunt for in your fights, and that's all you have for a style. All you have is power. You know what I mean? He's a walking puncher's chance is what Chito is. So, to have the audacity to say that, he lost me as a fan, bro, and I really don't care about him. So, and it's funny because that was old man Dominic Cruz that was smoking you. That's the funny part. You didn't even get the Dominic Cruz that would have not even – you wouldn't even landed anything on him. You wouldn't even land a single punch on him, in prime Dominic Cruz. So be happy that you got to fight Cruz in his late 30s, after all the injuries he's had over and over again, because he dominated you already and you would have got dominated 10 times worse versus Prime Crews. You probably, you know what I mean? They would have had to take you out of the octagon. So, yeah, that's the thing with that. I'm not a fan of him. I think O'Malley smokes him. And O'Malley's going to embarrass this guy is what's going to happen. The reason why Cheeto won the first fight is because O'Malley got injured. That's why that happened. You know, he didn't injure him. I think O'Malley had an injury. You know, we see that he tapes up, you know, he tapes up his calves a lot when he fights. So, you know, clearly he's got, you know, you don't want to allow Cheeto to kick your legs. You know, that's definitely something that Sugar's got to do, O'Malley's got to do in this fight, is you can't allow Cheeto to start kicking your legs early. You know what I'm saying? And if he does, you know, you got to respond to it. You can't just let him beat up your legs. And I think I think O'Malley will correct that, and I think he'll smoke him. You know what I mean? And then we'll be saying, why did we make this fight?
Man, this is tough, man. Because I definitely don't think Vera deserves a title shot. But Sean O'Malley asked for this fight. He asked to fight him. He didn't ask to fight Morale, you know, or, you know, cringeworthy. He asked to fight Cheeto Vera. He said he wanted to get the L back. So, now, my thing is this. In the first fight, Marlon Vera definitely ate his legs up. He ate his legs up so bad that I want to say O'Malley sprained his ankle. He could barely even move around in the cage. Now, has Sean O'Malley gotten better? I think he's the same guy. I mean, he hits hard. He fights at range. Marlon Vera, has Cheeto Vera got better? I don't think so. So it's going to be whichever guy can go in there and impose their will on the other guy. So I think the trash talk leading up to the fight is going to be entertaining. But this O'Malley time, man. If it's truly his time, he gets Marlon Vera out of there by the third round. It don't go into the fourth or fifth round. He gets Marlon Vera up out of there by the third round. But, hey, man, UFC 295 is this weekend. We had a lot of changes on the card. It's supposed to have been John Jones versus Stipe. John Jones tore his pec. He was on Twitter. They had to show his bandages and stuff like that. You know, our rest up champ get well soon. Me and Keys, I asked Keys when he told me the news about John. I said, why isn't Stipe in the picture? And my man Keys said he thinks that Stipe was probably off of the fight and opted out of the fight because of short notice. Now, my thing with Stipe is this, bro. You haven't fought in forever and a day. You should be ready to fight anybody if you training to fight John Jones. So I don't know why he will opt out of this, but I think Stipe is looking at it like this. The biggest fight he's going to get for the rest of his career is against John Jones. That's the biggest fight he's going to get. But on Saturday, 295, we got Pashaka taking on Alex Pereira for the, what's that, the 205 belt, light heavyweight belt?
Yeah, so, vacant.
Yeah, because, hey, rest up, Jamal. Me and Keys can't wait for you to get back, you know, so you can get back in there
the
and reclaim
champ.
What's yours.
The real champ.
Yeah. All right, Keys, we got about 10 minutes left. Give me a fight that you got your eyes on. Give me one fight that you got your eyes on.
Out the gate, bro, the fight that I'm looking, I mean, I got to give you two. I got to give you two because there's a lot of fights. Matt Frevola versus Benoit Saint Denis, that's a crazy fight. That's not the one I'm going to mention, but that's a crazy fight. Two fighters I'm watching, Diego Lopez. Love Diego Lopez. He looked like a savage versus Abdulweb. So I'm saying Diego Lopez versus Pat Sabatini is my fight for the main card. And then the prelims card is Tabitha Ricci versus Lupita Godinez. Lupi Godinez, you looked so phenomenal in your last fight. She has – Lee, you got to watch Lupi Godinez. She is so good. If you watch her, if she uses her wrestling, she has good enough striking and more than good enough wrestling, but sometimes she just will just try to just box, and she won't use her wrestling, and that's where she loses fights at. So if you watch her last fight, she mixed the wrestling and striking so beautifully, bro, it could bring a tear to your eye. It was so beautifully done. It was like that is probably the best style in MMA, period. The striker-wrestler style that gets mixed, like similar to how Kobe Covington does it. Whitaker's more like a striker and anti-wrestler. He's not really like striker-wrestler, but it's a similar deal. And Lupi Godinez, if she does it, she's probably the number one of the overall on the card for the fighter to watch. Diego Lopez and Lupi Godinez, she could be the champion. If she does that style, she's going to beat Tabitha Ricci, and she could be the champion 100% in the next year or so. She could be the champion. She just has to strike and wrestle. You got to just don't try to be a boxer. You just do both. You do everything. Use everything you have. And use her wrestling, because she is more than good enough. I'm telling you, watch her fight. And if she does both, I know you will come back and say, wow, Keys, she might be the real deal.
Man. And the fight that I got my own. Our girl, man, Mackenzie Dern is on this card, man. She's fighting Jessica Andrade. I can't believe we picked two lady fights. I love this fight for Mackenzie Dern. Mackenzie Dern is a beast. We both know that. But sometimes Mackenzie, you know, she kind of gets in her own way. She's been alternating wins and losses. She won against Angela Hill, lost against Zenon. She won against Tisha Torres. She lost against Marina Rodriguez. So it's like, Mackenzie, when are you going to string together some wins? You got a tough task ahead of you with Jessica Andrade, young lady. So that's the fight I'm going to be looking for, Keys. Man, and I definitely want to see what this Frivola guy about. I've seen him fight a couple times. And, you know, I think this fight, do I really want to say it's a step up in competition? Because this guy 12-1, but let me see how he fought anybody real quick. Thiago Moses. Oh, he beat both of them. He beat one of the both of them boys. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Bro, Benoit Saint Denis is real, bro. That guy.
Okay.
Benoit Saint Denis could be the champion. That guy, yo, he smashed Bonfim, bro. That.
Okay.
Yeah. But people call that a fraud check. Like, people call that a fraud check of Bonfim. That's not a fraud check of Bonfim. Don't do him like that. Benoit Saint Denis is.
He could be the
champion. Yeah, he beat him. I know, but I'm saying people are calling that a Bonfim got fraud check. You know, it's like. A fraud check is not when you lose to a guy that is just better. I mean, and a guy that is supposed to be – you lose to a guy that could be the champion. That's not a fraud check. Benoit Saint-Denis is just a fucking awesome – he's a savage. That guy could be the champion. I already said it. I think he could be the champion. He's going to beat a lot of these guys, and he's at 155. He's going to beat a lot of these guys. And second, shout out to Matt Frivola. Did you know that he follows us on Twitter?
I saw that. Do you know Saint Denis is the favorite?
I did know. Yeah, I know he's the favorite.
He's a -235. Okay.
Yeah, bro. Benoit, there's a lot of hype on Benoit, bro. There's a lot of hype. You know that people love him, and there's a lot of belief in him.
All right, man. So let's jump into on the co-main and the main event, man.
But remember this, people. Remember this. Matt Favola, be careful with betting against Matt Favola. Be careful because he just knocked out Drew Dober. And Drew Dober has one of the best chins we've ever seen in UFC history. And at least in the modern era, Drew Dober has one of the best chins. And he just got KO'd, I want to say, in the first round by Matt Favola in their last fight. So be careful with doubting Matt Favola because he could beat Benoit Saint-Denis 100%. That's a scary fight, bro. That is a scary fight. You know, that is a scary fight. But let's do these predictions, bro, because I'll talk about this shit all night.
All right, man. So on co-main event, man, we got Sergey Popovich taking on Tom Aspinall. Popovich is a +105. Aspinall is a -125. I want to say Popovich is what, the first round king? Most of his fights are first rounders.
He's on a I want to say the 5 or 6 fight win streak and they're all first round KOs. I think he's 6. He's on a 6 first round KO streak. Scary guy, bro.
Actually, he's on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Because he got knocked out in the first round, too.
Okay. Well, Overeem beat him to death. Overeem beat him like he stole something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Overeem beat that boy down. So
basically, most of his last 8 fights have all ended in the first round. How you got this fight going Saturday?
I got Pablo first round knockout. I think that I'm done doubting him. I've doubted him before. I knew he would KO Blaze, and I still bet against him like an idiot. And I knew he was going to KO Blaze. Blaze loses to all the heavy punches. That is a fact. Blaze loses to the heavy punches. If you look at it, he lost to all the heaviest punches. And Pablo. Pablo has a full camp for this, so I'm going Pablo first round. Think about it. Pablo was Jones versus Stipe. Pablo was the official backup fighter, so he has a full camp. And Tom Aspinall has about a 3-week camp. Tom Aspinall was only just offered the fight when Jones fell out, so that's maybe 3 weeks. Short notice is not good, man. Versus this guy, full camp, I don't see it, bro. I don't see it. First round Pablo.
I think the only way Aspinall can win this fight is he has to come out in the first round and wrestle. He has to come out in the first round and just take Pavlovich down and make it happen. Just survive the first round and then just go from there. Now, do I think he's going to do that? I don't know. I hope he does, but I'm going to roll with you on this one. I think Popovich has been training, and he's been training to fight 2 of the best fighters in UFC mixed martial arts history, not just any old fighter. He's been training to fight either John Jones or Stipe Miocic. So I'm going to give a nod to Popovich in this one. I think his first round streak stays alive, and we have a new heavyweight champion, dog. Next up, the vacant light heavyweight title. We got Prochazka versus Pereira. This fight, to me, Keys, seems like an easy fight to pick. But I'm going to let you go first. Who you got winning this fight?
So, to me, I've been thinking about this for a while, but and then I kind of decided. I just think Yuri, like, it's not that easy to just, like, take guys down. You know what I mean? That's what Aljo was explaining, like, when O'Malley KO'd him and they said, why didn't you just wrestle him? Like, it's not that easy to just, like, go in and take guys down, especially guys that can – have such a KO threat. You know what I mean? You can't just, like, rush in and try to take guys down. That's what Derek Lewis did. That's what Blaze did versus Derek Lewis, and we saw what happened. So you can't do that. And I just think Jiří had that major shoulder injury, I want to say, and he's just coming back off that really soon versus a guy that if he stands with, this Pereira is going to put you out. You know what I mean? You can't just stand in front of him. And I think that's what we see here. I think the stars are aligned for Pereira. I think Pereira KOs Jiří. I don't know what round. I'd probably say in the first three rounds and new light heavyweight champion.
I think Pereira's finally fighting at the proper weight, at the proper division, probably proper weight class. And we saw him have power, you know, at the lower weight class. So now that power should definitely translate up. What can Jiří do to make Pereira uncomfortable? Only thing he can do is take him down. We both know when we watch Pereira and Izzy fight that both of them were allergic to wrestling. It was like they just didn't want no parts of it. So can Prashaka do something like that? I'm going to say no. I think Pereira beats him up really bad. I think Pereira gets him out of there probably second round, makes it look easy. That's it. Excuse me. So we covered a lot tonight, man. So any last thoughts for the people?
Nah, man, I'm spent. I'm going to go have some dinner. I'm starving. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate y'all. Take care of your mental health. Watch UFC 295 on Saturday. That will take care of your mental health. And, you know what I mean, if you can better yourself internally, that's only going to better things that are external as well. So, yeah, work on you and stay focused, stay positive. Peace out.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate that we're back to the normal time frame for these UFC events now. I really kind of like the middle of the day events, but I'll be watching. Everybody take care of you. Take care of yourselves. As always, Lynn Keys, always in the show with her. Peace.